Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Boomers, the Men and Women Who Promised Freedom and Delivered Disaster by Helen Andrews is a work of political and cultural criticism focused on the baby boomer generation and its public legacy. Rather than offering a broad sociological survey, Andrews uses a biographical method modeled on Lytton Strachey and examines six influential figures: Steve Jobs, Aaron Sorkin, Camille Paglia, Jeffrey Sachs, Al Sharpton, and Sonia Sotomayor. Her central claim is that the generation often framed its ambitions in the language of freedom, authenticity, empowerment, and reform, but many of its most visible achievements produced instability, fragmentation, or new forms of control. The book belongs to the genre of conservative cultural critique, but its structure is literary as much as polemical. Its purpose is not simply to blame an age cohort, but to ask how a set of ideals, carried by unusually consequential individuals, reshaped technology, politics, academia, law, media, and social life in ways that prove more contradictory than liberating. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a generational critique built through emblematic biographies. The most distinctive feature of boomers is its method. Andrews does not attempt a demographic history of everyone born during the baby boom. Instead, she selects public figures whose careers are meant to reveal larger tendencies in the generation. This approach allows the book to avoid the flatness of a purely statistical account, because each chapter turns a cultural argument into a study of temperament, ambition, and unintended consequence. Steve Jobs, Aaron Sorkin, Camille Paglia, Jeffrey Sachs, Al Sharpton, and Sonia Sotomayor are not treated as average boomers, but as representative in a more symbolic sense. They brought boomer ideas into institutions with unusually large reach. The result is a critique of influence rather than a census of attitudes. This method is powerful because it makes abstract claims about liberation, meritocracy, empowerment, and rebellion concrete. Its limitation is also clear. Readers who want a comprehensive account of ordinary middle-class boomers, labor markets, housing, pensions, or family economics may find the sample narrow. Andrews is writing a study of elite cultural formation, not a complete social history. Secondly, freedom as the promise that repeatedly turns into disorder. The organizing argument of the book is that boomer public culture promised freedom but often produced disorder. Andrews treats freedom not as a simple good or bad value, but as an ideal that becomes dangerous when detached from inherited norms, institutional restraint, and responsibility to future generations. In her telling, the boomer rebellion against conformity, hierarchy, and tradition did not merely open space for self-expression. It also weakens structures that help people make sense of obligation, authority, and continuity. This is why the subtitle Matters: The Disaster is not only economic or political, but moral and institutional. The figures she profiles often began with reformist or emancipatory aims. They wanted to liberate creativity, empower outsiders, democratize knowledge, or challenge stale orthodoxies. Andrews argues that their achievements frequently created substitutes that were less humane than what they replaced: more performative politics, more unstable institutions, more intrusive technology, and less shared understanding of the common good. The book, therefore, asks readers to distinguish between liberation as a slogan and liberty as a durable social condition. Its critique is aimed at the gap between intention and outcome. Thirdly, technology and entertainment as engines of boomer-style individualism. The chapters on figures such as Steve Jobs and Aaron Sorkin show how Andrews connects generational ideals to mass culture. Jobs appears as a symbol of rebellion absorbed into consumer technology. The countercultural desire to break rules becomes a corporate design philosophy that reshapes everyday behavior. Andrews is especially interested in the irony that tools marketed as personal liberation can create dependence, surveillance, distraction, and precarious new labor arrangements. The book does not reduce Jobs to a villain. Rather, it uses his career to show how anti-establishment style can become one of the most powerful forms of establishment power. Sorkin represents a different but related cultural force: political idealism, translated into entertainment. His work helped popularize a vision of educated, articulate, morally confident professionals using institutions to perform public virtue. Andrews treats this as consequential because entertainment does not merely reflect politics. It trains audiences in what leadership, intelligence, and civic seriousness are supposed to look like. These chapters show how boomer individualism did not remain private. It became aesthetic, technological, and institutional, shaping how later generations work, communicate, and imagine political competence. Fourthly, empowerment politics and the creation of new institutional authorities. A major strand of the book examines how projects meant to empower the marginalized can produce new hierarchies. Andrews applies this concern to public figures associated with law, activism, academia, and development policy. In discussing Al Sharpton, Sonia Sotomayor, Camille Paglia, and Jeffrey Sachs, she is interested less in a single policy dispute than in a recurring pattern reformers challenge an existing authority in the name of justice or authenticity, then help build another authority with its own incentives and blind spots. Sharpton represents the political power of grievance and media activism. Sotomayor allows Andrews to address identity, merit, and the legal imagination. Paglia stands for a paradox inside academic rebellion, since her own challenge to orthodoxies also emerged from the intellectual environment she criticized. Sachs illustrates the confidence of expert-led reform, especially when ambitious plans encounter resistant social realities. The common issue is not whether injustice existed or reform was unnecessary. Andrews argues instead that boomer reformers often underestimated how easily emancipatory language can be captured by bureaucracies, media incentives, professional prestige, or ideological conformity. Empowerment, in this view, can become another route to domination. Lastly, the book's strength and weakness lie in blaming a generation through elites. Boomers is sharpest when read as a study of elite responsibility. Andrews does not claim that every person born after World War II personally dismantled institutions or designed the cultural conditions that younger generations inherited. Her argument depends on the idea that influential boomers expressed and amplified tendencies already present in their cohort's suspicion of tradition, faith, and self-invention, mistrust of limits, and confidence in reformist expertise. This gives the book focus and narrative energy, but it also creates an interpretive risk. A generation contains millions of people whose lives were shaped by class, region, religion, family structure, work, and historical timing. Many ordinary boomers did not possess the cultural power of a technology founder, Supreme Court justice, celebrity activist, celebrated writer, famous professor, or global economist. Andrews is aware of the symbolic nature of her project, but readers may still question how representative the chosen subjects are. The most balanced reading is to see the book as an argument about generational leadership rather than generational essence. It is less useful as a complete explanation of boomer life, and more useful as a critique of the people who translated boomer ideals into institutions. In conclusion, Boomers is best suited for readers interested in cultural criticism, political argument, generational conflict, and the relationship between ideas and institutions. It will appeal especially to readers who want a conservative account of how the ideals of liberation, authenticity, expertise, and empowerment shaped late 20th century and early 21st century public life. Its intellectual benefit lies in forcing a distinction between noble intention and durable outcome. Andrews asks readers to consider how reforms can produce consequences opposite to their stated aims, and how elite personalities can embody broader historical changes without representing every member of their generation. Compared with many books about baby boomers, it stands out because it avoids a conventional demographic survey and instead uses tightly drawn biographical essays. That structure gives the book literary energy and allows it to connect technology, entertainment, academia, activism, law, and development policy under one argument. Readers seeking a neutral social science account of housing, wealth accumulation, or retirement politics may find it incomplete. Readers seeking a pointed, witty, and morally serious critique of boomer cultural leadership will find it more rewarding. Its value is not that it settles the debate over generational blame, but that it clarifies why the debate remains so politically and emotionally charged. If you would like to support Helen Andrews, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.